Please be seated. Well, good morning. Is this on? Great to see everyone this morning. Wow, weren't those kids fabulous? That was just amazing. Thank you to all the VBS volunteers. As we begin today, I want to think back to one of the fondest days of my life, and that happened in 2009. It was right here at McKernan, where I was baptized in the tank behind me. And the scriptural passage given to me that day was Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I've always been fascinated how appropriate that passage was, especially for the process leading up to that day, because it was anything but straight. The situation was complicated. It was kind of more of a jumbled mess, really. Here I was confronted with the challenge of being faithful to God, and it was going to be difficult. And I was faced with the question, was God really going to make my paths straight? I'm not the first one to wrestle with this issue. In the Bible, a man named Ananias struggled with this same thing. He was faced with a task requiring obedience to Jesus, and this task, quite frankly, scared him out of his wits. If you've been around the church for a while, you'll probably know this. If you're new, I'll give you a little background to this story. The Apostle Paul, one of the most important figures in the history of Christianity, whose letters make up almost half of the books of the New Testament, was not always a nice guy. At one point before his conversion, when he went by the name of Saul of Tarsus, he began to systematically destroy the church. He went from house to house in Jerusalem, dragging off Christian men and women to prison, and some of them to their deaths. And now he is on his way to Damascus to round up Christians who had fled from him to that city. And you could imagine that the Christians in Damascus are very frightened. And what happened on that road, many of you know the story, is that Jesus met Paul on that road. He humbled Paul. He blinded Paul. Paul was led helpless into the city. And he's waiting in a house for a man from God he has seen in a vision to come and restore his sight and tell him what is going on. And that man's name is Ananias. And given what Ananias knew about Paul, at that particular point, he would have likely perceived the task to be life-threatening. Let's pick up the story at Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 14. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. So there is Ananias faced with a request from Jesus to go meet someone he thinks is a tyrant. And up to that point, quite frankly, Ananias was right. And you can just feel the difficulty Ananias is feeling to stay faithful and to obey Jesus' command. Some of you might be facing a situation now where God is asking you to do something that requires your obedience, requires your trust. For me, 8 years ago, It was my baptism. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 40 years old. And a few years later, a close friend suggested, or maybe a better word is challenged, me to take the next step in my faith walk and to get baptized as an adult. And upon prayerful reflection, I sensed that that is indeed what God wanted me to do. This was a challenging issue for me because all of my family had been baptized in the tradition of another denomination as infants, and I would be breaking that tradition. I would be the first in my family to publicly make a declaration that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my King and my leader of my life. It seems straightforward enough from a distance, but this process was fraught with complications. At least in my head it was. My family is very important to me. I didn't want to leave my family behind in any way on my faith journey. I wanted to bring them along with me. I wanted to keep my family relationships strong and that they would not be harmed. Growing up, I was loved, cared for by my parents, for which I am truly grateful. I was valued as a human being. I learned from my mom and dad how to say sorry, and because of that, it was never difficult for me to learn how to forgive. But I was very concerned that my parents or my brother or anyone in my family or Vivian's family would think that I was somehow turning my back on them and that our relationships would be damaged. So that was my challenge. Let's go back to Ananias' challenge. He was confronted with the faithfulness of going to Straight Street. We hear in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, that God will make our way straight. Could God make the way of Ananias to Straight Street straight? Could God make my way to my baptism straight? And where are you being called to be faithful? Do you think God could make your way in that journey straight? It's hard to be faithful in the midst of difficult circumstances, a cancer diagnosis, a struggling marriage, strained relationships with your parents or your kids. Maybe you're wrestling with the idea of being baptized. We all have our straight streets. You know, God is calling you to be faithful, calling you to be obedient. But that's hard. And you face the question, will God really make my way straight through this tangled mess? Let's consider that question today by looking at how God made Ananias' way to Straight Street straight. Today we're going to be talking about three principles of how God makes a path straight. And they arise out of three things that happened to Ananias on his journey. The first principle is that trusting in the Lord with all your heart requires our obedience. We will see that Ananias obeyed. For Ananias, his way to Straight Street was made straight when he obeyed. The second principle is that when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, God will empower us to accomplish the task. We will see that Ananias looked to God for help, and God empowered him to get the job done. Not only was Ananias faithful to God, God was also faithful to Ananias. And we will look at how that happened. And the third principle, when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, our perspective will change to be more like that of Jesus. And we'll see how that happened to Ananias. Okay, let's talk about number one. Ananias obeyed Jesus. Ananias went to Straight Street. He actually went to the house. He found Paul. He laid his hands on him. Ananias obeyed. For me, I had committed to God that I would get baptized. I wasn't sure how that was going to unfold. I wasn't sure how things would end up. I prayed that my family relationships would not be harmed. But I left the details to him. The first step in the process is to obey. Why can this be so hard? In our lives, we have thousands of distractions, things, people vying for our attention. We have to make a choice as to who is going to be our leader. Who is our king? It can be easy to allow ourselves to be subjected to any number of other kings, other than the one true king. I came across a global news report from May of this year involving international food giant Burger King. Now, Burger King was about to open their first ever restaurant in Belgium. And in honor of that, Burger King launched an advertising campaign and asked Belgians online who they think their king should be. And they offered two alternatives. The first, shown on the left, is the actual king of Belgium, King Philippe. And the alternative was the fictional Burger King. The website announced two kings, one single crown, who shall reign? Unfortunately for Burger King, the mock election caught the attention of the Belgian royal family, who were not amused. Palace spokesman Pierre-Emmanuel Dubao told reporters that they were not happy that Burger King had used an image of the real king, especially in a commercial promotion. And he asked Burger King to explain themselves. Burger King later responded that they were considering changing their advertising. It appears that the Belgian royal family and Burger King could at the very least agree on one thing, and that was there can be only one king. Who is your king? Who do you obey? The Bible is full of God's commandments to have no other kings before God. One example is Matthew 6:24, where Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will have the one, and either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Now, in this particular case, Jesus is referring to God and money as the two masters, the two kings. And Jesus says, "We cannot serve both." But there are more kings out there. Fear can be a king. We cannot serve both God and fear. Pride is a king. We cannot serve both God and our own self-conceit. And there are others. A sports team, if taken to an extreme, can be your king. Your career, if taken to an extreme, can be your king. Your looks. These other kings take away our loyalty and commitment to God. They compromise our worship and trust in Him and get in the way of God, get in the way of us obeying God's plans. So step one is when you are called to be faithful in a difficult situation, obey the one true king, like Ananias did. The second step in the process is that when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, God will empower us to accomplish the task. When God calls us to be faithful, He will be faithful to us as well. It will be a team effort. You and God. Imagine that. There are many examples of God's faithfulness. We can take a lesson from the life of the prophet Jeremiah. During one of the low points of his life, Jeremiah wrote what is now the Book of Lamentations. Jerusalem had been conquered by the Babylonians, and it lay in ruins. Israelites had been put to the sword. The lucky ones had been dragged off to Babylon. At the moment of Jeremiah's deepest despair, his hopelessness turned to hope as he remembered the Lord's love and faithfulness. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Jeremiah exalted God's love and faithfulness. In the midst of chaos and despair and misery, he revealed a deep faith, not only in God, but in God's faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. The Hebrew word here is one of constancy and reliability. It was a unique characteristic of Yahweh, the God of Israel. Contrary to the way the peoples neighboring Israel at that time viewed their own gods, the Jews now understood Yahweh to be faithful to them. And what greater hope can we have than knowing that God himself is totally reliable? Okay, let's go back to Ananias. How was God faithful to him? Well, Jesus provided some additional information for him that would empower him to get the job done. Starting at verse 15, Jesus shares with Ananias his plans for Paul. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." This information helped Ananias see that Paul was not the same murderous zealot that he had been up till that point. Rather, Paul had been humbled. He was in need of help. He was in need of healing. And Paul would have to suffer also for Jesus' name. Ananias came to understand that Paul would be a key instrument in Jesus' hands to spread the gospel. And this information empowered Ananias to go to Straight Street. Did God empower me to get the job done? Well, remember that my concern was that my family would not understand what I was doing. That was my main anxiety. I did not know what my next move was, but I had committed to God that I would get baptized. One day I was sitting at home during this time, and a movie started playing in my head. It was my brother and I. We were sitting at a Tim Hortons talking. It was a very specific Tim Hortons. In fact, it was a specific table at a specific Tim Hortons in Edmonton. And I knew exactly what we were talking about. I was telling my brother in a very relaxed, very reasonable, very adult manner that I was going to get baptized and why. I was sharing this information with my brother, bringing him into the loop on what I was doing in my life. For some reason, that was a revelation to me. I hadn't even realized that I had not communicated all this information to my family, and I now realized that that needed to be done. So I called up my brother, and I said, "Hey, you want to go for a coffee tomorrow to, I don't know, Tim Hortons?" And he said, "Sure." So the next day, we were sitting at that exact table in that exact Tim Hortons having a chat. For the record, there were other tables available, but I wasn't interested in any of those tables. And I shared this with my brother, and he was very supportive. And I even shared with him my concern that our parents would not understand, that they would be upset. And my brother offered these wise words. "Well, you do know that you are an adult and you can make your own decisions, right?" He was wiser than I thought, my brother. And that was very comforting to me and very encouraging. And that discussion was the beginning of many other discussions I had with my family and with members of Vivian's family, bringing them in the loop, telling them what I was going to do. God was faithful. He gave me my next move. And that empowered me to get the job done. Before we go on to the third point, I just want to review how far we've come so far today. Remember that we're talking about the principle in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that if we trust in God with all our heart, he will make our paths straight. Point number one was that the first step in making our path straight is to obey God. Point number two was that once we have obeyed God, God will help us. He will empower us in some crucial way to get the job done. Jesus empowered Ananias by providing information and insight into Jesus' plans for Paul. God empowered me by showing me my next move. What was my next move? Well, I was to act like an adult. I was to go to the adult members of my family and have an adult discussion about what I had chosen to do as an adult, to get baptized. So those are the first two points. The third point is that God will change your perspective on this journey of obedience. How was Ananias' perspective changed on his journey to Straight Street? Well, he no longer saw Saul of Tarsus as an oppressor. He greeted him with, "Brother Saul." For me, part of that change in my perspective was that I could see that doing something that my family had never done before was not as scary as I thought. They were actually quite reasonable about it, and my fears were overblown. I began to see also God in a bigger way, that he is faithful and true and won't abandon me. Great is your faithfulness. My perspective had been transformed. What about you? Can you believe that God will change your perspective too? If your difficulty is, for example, obeying God in a troubled marriage, or the difficulty of obeying God in a work environment where he has never obeyed, by following through and obeying God, your perspective will be transformed. How so? Well, perhaps you will come to appreciate your spouse's challenges more than you did. Or perhaps you will see your coworkers in a different light. Maybe you really don't understand their journeys. Maybe they need your respect and your support. What is your Straight Street? Ananias's was a walk to a literal Straight Street that he originally thought was life-threatening. 8 years ago, mine was my baptism. And I still have others today, places where I need to be faithful and obedient. In the Christian life, there seems to be a never-ending supply of Straight Streets. As many of you know, 4 years ago, I was called into ministry. With Vivian's support and God's help, I spent that time working through and completing a Master of Divinity degree at Taylor Seminary. I graduated in April, arriving at that Straight Street right here on this stage, being able to walk across and receive my degree with my friends, fellow students, and colleagues. That was a special day. As Viv and I reflect on that season, we can see elements of all three of these principles in our journey. Our obedience, God's help and empowerment, and the transformation of our own perspectives. And now we have another Straight Street to journey to. Viv and I are preparing for a life in ministry. At this point, it's not yet clear where this new Straight Street is, what it will look like. It may be a straight avenue or a straight boulevard, for all we know. But we trust that God is faithful, and we trust in Jeremiah's words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What is your Straight Street? How will God make your way to Straight Street straight? The first step is to obey. Trust God with all your heart. Second, God will empower you. He will help you in some crucial way to get the job done. And third, your own perspective will change along the way to be more like that of Jesus. Can you trust that God will make the path to your straight street straight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good Father. You care for us. You challenge us, your children, and help us to grow in our faith. You don't leave us on our own. You stay close to us, and you empower us to face down these challenges. We thank you for that. And you help us change our perspective so that we see things more the way Jesus does. Because of your great love, we are not consumed. Your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.